This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Josh, what a decision made. I don't think we need to rehash everything that's going on with you over in August, but you decided to get a new dog.
Yeah, that's right. I went to a shelter, decided to find myself a new companion.
And maybe it wasn't made, maybe it wasn't clear to me, but the moment, I've had a television break. I've seen an incredible sale on something. I've had a car accident. I need to make a major purchase or acquisition. Mm. What was, do you remember the moment in your head, the switch flicked and it's like, and time to go dog?
It felt like it was the right time, you know, about a month since my other dog had passed away. And, you know, I felt like that.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Man, it feels like it was last week, dude.
The house just isn't the same, and it's too quiet, and I wasn't going home as soon as I normally go home after work. So I decided to check things out, and the whole thing was an adventure.
Can I just go back to the pumpernickel thing?
Yeah.
I mean, in the month since.
Yes.
I have had so many people come up to me and say that collectively, it was most, you did most of the heavy lifting. We let you just kind of walk the path, and we kind of interjected here and there. But they said that collectively as a show, the way that was handled was phenomenal. How real we were was just, they were just enamored by how real we were, how we let our emotions, you know, wore them on our sleeve that morning, and how we just kind of let that happen. And I mean, just last week when I was buying my house at the closing, the people I was buying the house from, he's like, yeah, I kind of figured out who you were, and I started listening, and I mean, he brought it up and he said that was one of the most real things he's ever experienced. Yeah, and I got that over and over and over
again. I told you that the first day of preseason tailgate. That was the number one question I was asked.
I couldn't believe the response. I mean, I knew there would be a response, but I couldn't believe the overwhelming response we got. And
but it's one thing for people to reach out to you and say, hey, I'm sorry. But like in terms of like a radio break and how compelling it was, and how perfect is the right word, or just
genuine.
We didn't even plan it. We did not plan it at all. We kind of just went into it blind. We knew we were doing it. You know, he's going to make the announcement, and then we let you do it. And just the way it, I think it just speaks to how great we are at this.
I mean, we're really good at this. I mean, this is a pretty damn good show. This is pretty good. We didn't have to call a prep service for a dead dog type situation. It was actually us crying. Ugh.
Except for Josh, which was what surprised me, is how well you were able to maintain composure.
I thought I would be more emotional. I was surprised.
You cry behind closed doors.
Yeah, I've never seen Josh tear up or anything.
There was a lot of emotion behind closed doors.
Is it really ugly when you finally let loose?
It could be the ugly cry. It could be the ugly cry.
I've been told I have a very ugly, effeminate cry.
Well, there's lots of days of joy ahead, Speaks.
Yes.
Well, you and Farfel. You and Farfel.
Farfel.
Starting a new chapter,
yes,
baby.
Farfel Nickel. Yes. Because it is your announcement.
Well, I guess I should get right to it.
Josh Spiegel, welcome back to the program after many, many days off last week.
Did you get a chance
to travel? Did you get a chance to do anything, see anything?
I was supposed to go visit my sister in New York, but I decided to stay, and I adopted a new dog.
Whoa!
Questions.
So many answers.
Run it back one more time. You were off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of last week. You were supposed to go to New York to visit your sisters, but instead you woke up one day. What happened? Tell me, what happened? How did this all happen?
Well, I was
By the way, I just tweeted out and Facebooked out a picture of the duck.
Oh, damn.
That's oh, God.
About to
that's
blow up.
How did I not notice the white smoke in the distance? Yeah. There's pictures of the dog. The white smoke is coming from Josh Spiegel's cathedral.
How did this happen?
So my dog, Pumpernickel, she passed away about a month ago.
R.I.P.
And it's...
not laughing at that. I just read the dog's name.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention the dog's name. The dog's name.
The dog's name is...
I named the dog Farfel.
Farfel?
Farfel!
What the f*** is a Farfel?
Farfel is a... it's sort of like a Jewish food. But I got the name from Seinfeld because a dog once appeared on Seinfeld named Farfel. And it's not easy naming a dog. I was racking my brains out trying to think of a name. So,
and it is an Ashkenazi, which you were confirmed to be. Jewish cuisine made from an egg noodle dough, toasted before being cooked, served in soups or a side dish. Delicious Farfel.
It is. It shall be called Farfel. It's a terrier. By the way, it's a 30-pound terrier. Farfel is a 30-pound terrier, and I adopted him from a shelter. And I went to a bunch of shelters last week because, after my dog died about a month ago, the house just hasn't been the same. It's been very quiet, and I had to get something else. And
did you properly grieve Pumpernickel?
I mean, I still am. I still miss her very much, and it's still painful. And but you know, I decided, you know, you could grieve and get something new at the same time. So I got Farfel, and Farfel is now a Spiegel.
Farfel Spiegel. Spiegel. When do we get to meet Farfel?
As soon as he calms down.
Okay.
Because Farfel is
a little excitable.
Oh yeah. Look, when I went in to adopt,
I'm looking for a bitch.
My intent was to get a lab or a golden retriever. But that didn't work out. And I wanted, a dog, you know, maybe a year to 3 years old.
Uh-huh.
This dog is, I actually misread its age. I thought it was 2 years old. It turns out it's 10 months old.
Oh, so
how do you misread that?
Because I'm bad in math, and I thought it said, I got confused.
The number 2 and the number 10 look real similar.
And so... it didn't say 10 or 2. It just said the year. And I took it home, and
him.
He doesn't he doesn't stop moving. He constantly moves, and so I was completely exhausted for the past few days, emotionally and physically, because he, you know, will go out in the yard and play fetch. And I got one of those fancy stick things that you put the ball in the end.
Yeah,
tennis
ball thrower.
Yeah. And so it goes across the whole yard. And he can do that for 40 minutes, not even getting tired out.
Wow.
It's amazing. Yeah, he's on cocaine.
The dog is a Josh got a coke-addicted infant.
Farfel.
Farfel.
But he's a great dog. He's very affectionate. And I don't know if he's smart yet. Because I'm still resisting. I'm sort of resisting. I've put up a sort of an emotional wall. I'm trying not to get attached
to
him.
He has to earn your love.
Yeah. Because I'm comparing him to the old dog.
Could have got a lemon. His tips over on you.
You know, I'm thinking, well, you know, this dog may not be so special. But, you know, then we start to snuggle, and he's very, very nice.
You don't love him because he's beautiful. He's beautiful because you love him.
You know
what?
I think he might have rescued me.
God loves a terrier.
God loves a terrier. Yes, he does. God loves a terrier.
You said you went to a bunch of shelters.
Yeah, that's right.
Last week. What was it about Farfel?
By the end of the week, I became more determined to just take a dog home.
Whoa.
I was. Did you settle? Because
right.
I've this gone is and
not
bought
sounding
stuff.
Right,
no, I didn't settle. I thought he was really cute, and he seemed to be connecting to me.
Uh-huh.
And I
save me, save yeah. me, save me, save me.
So I just you know decided to take him home and. You know, he needs some training. Mm-hmm. I have to train him. He knows how to sit. Oh, I forgot to tell you about his talent. Okay. The previous owner, whoever it was, they taught him to sit.
Okay.
Everything else is pretty much up in the air. You can't get him to do anything yet. But they did take the time to teach him when he wants to go out to ring a bell.
Whoa.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wait,
cool.
What? I would rather him just bark, and he knows how to stay and come and roll over. I don't need him to ring a bell.
I have to, Daddy. You know, get me.
I mean, it's kind of cool, but I don't even know how you teach a dog to do that.
Where's this bell at? Is he
it's on the back door?
Oh, I just imagine him like holding it between his little paws.
You hang it on the back door, so he runs to the back door. Yeah. When he has to go out, he hits the bell, and yeah. You know, that's great. That's amazing. Now, so wait, he's already house trained.
That won't drive you nuts at 2 a.m.
Hasn't had any. Every time he sees a bird, he's ringing the bell.
Father, look.
But, yeah, he hasn't had any accidents. It's amazing. He's 10 months old, and unless I miscalculated again. And he goes into a crate, but when he's not sleeping, he doesn't stop moving. So it's exhausting.
We regularly declare, either off the air, right before a break or after a break, that we have to use a bathroom. Mike, we need to institute the bathroom bell in the studio from now on. One of us has to go to the bathroom. I just want this. Bathroom. Bathroom. Bathroom.
Now,
bathroom.
Is he a mutt?
He seems to be a mutt. He's a terrier. I don't even know what kind of terrier, but I'll tell you, when I take him out on the leash, he gets looks. Gets a lot of smiles.
He's cute, man.
From the ladies.
Are you concerned at all about people botching the name Farfel to Fivel?
No. What I'm concerned about with that name is for the rest of his life getting Farfel. That's an interesting name. How do you come up with that?
Yeah.
What does that mean? So, you know, as opposed to just naming him Bob.
Change it every single time, like the Joker. You want to know how my dog got this name?
Right.
Yeah. And you were telling me the other day he actually escaped.
Oh, yeah. I opened the front door and he bolted.
Oh.
I had to run after him. And at that point, he doesn't answer to a name yet. So it's all I was yelling was, hey.
My name's not Farfel.
And then just right at the door.
Let me ask you this. Have you taken him like on a walk?
Yeah, I've taken
Does
him.
Does he do that like whole thing where he's like pulling you the whole time?
He pulls a little bit, but he's pretty good. He needs some work, but he's pretty good on the leash.
I don't know.
Same here.
This is odd to me.
The offer still stands. Even though you got a new dog, feel free to walk me around like a dog.
You're not, I don't know.
Do you have buyer's remorse?
Did you have buyer's remorse?
No. I made a commitment, and I'm now his.
Yeah, so what? We all make, 50% of people that get married make a commitment. Guess what happens?
I gave birth.
Divorce!
I gave birth to this dog.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to keep him. The only thing is, it's exhausting. He needs to be trained. He needs structure.
I mean,
the dog's got to poop.
Worst comes to worst, you could always, do what your parents did and just drop them off in no elementary school.
Oh, God, dude.
That's so rude.
No, we break that chain. Coming up, 410-338-1098, we invite you to get a viewing of the sweet baby Spiegel. Farfel has been revealed to the masses. We encourage you to call and congratulate Josh on him giving birth to his new dog, Farfel.
Big news here.
Yeah, baby.
About a month ago, unfortunately, Pumpernickel, beloved, we love her. Shout out, Pumpernickel,
mm-hmm.
up there, looking down on us. I know you are.
Love you, sweetie.
And, Spiegs has been in the mourning process, going through it. House is not the same. House is quiet. How much, can I get real personal?
Okay.
That's what we do here. Mm-hmm. This is why we're number one, is because we're not some stupid War of the Roses type show.
Everything's does, great.
You know, stupid bits. We share our lives and we're real.
Things are great.
And I got to tell you a story about people talking about our show. There were two people in particular that loved our show.
Uh-huh.
And they got exactly why the show is good. It's because of stuff like this.
I'm a cutter.
How much? I don't know how to say this.
Oh, just say it.
I mean, was there a lot of, like, did you sob a lot? I mean, you had to have, right?
After, like, my dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot. I mean, before it happened.
Because I thought, I texted you. I was texting you a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. I was thinking
that,
about you a lot. And I don't want to say I was worried about you. Maybe part of me was worried.
Concerned.
I just want to make sure you're okay. But I want, like, a little fly on the wall of the household of Spiegel, you know, the days and weeks.
Well,
after.
I cried a lot beforehand because I knew it was coming to an end or life. And afterwards, there was a lot of emotion and it's a lot of guilt, like I've said. And just a very, you know, the house, it felt like it wasn't a home.
You conveyed that a lot prior to your time off last week and the week before, that you were like going out more than you had before because you didn't want to be inside of such an empty, house.
Yeah, I was that it's very strange for a recluse to not want to go home. But, you know, so it was very painful. It's still, you know, I still miss her a lot.
Of course.
But I decided it was time to get this mongrel. And as soon as we train him as a group, I'm thinking Mike.
Whoa! I didn't sign up for this.
I get the weekend.
Mike will solely. I actually thought about offering to pay Mike to train this dog.
Whoa!
So you have a new dog, idea. Terrier mix.
Yeah.
Farfel is the name.
Yeah.
You went to a bunch of shelters.
Yes.
I've never done that, so I don't know what is that like.
Well, most of them just let me go back. They didn't even really ask me much. I said, I'm kind of looking for a dog. And
they know you?
Nobody indicated that they recognized me, but it was strange for me because, you know, I'm socially anxious. So it was weird for me going in and say, hi, I'm interested in possibly adopting a dog.
So as you're going back.
Yeah.
What is in your head? Like, what are you clear-minded and you're just going to let the universe come to you at that and let the dog speak to you? Or are you looking for something specific?
You wanted a particular dog to jump out?
Are you not looking for something? Are you looking for something?
What literally leap out of its cage?
I was trying to keep an open mind. Ideally, I wanted a lab like Pumpernickel was, or a golden retriever, something like that. But I was going to keep an open mind, and I went back and I looked around, and I was trying to. I kind of went back, pretending I was Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer, and
putting the two fingers through the cage to calm it.
Yeah, and you know, you could, if you're observant, you can tell if it's dysfunctional or if it's aggressive or just calm. And I didn't see many dogs that I was interested in. There was one. I went to 5 shelters.
Whoa.
Damn.
So you were hell-bent on getting a dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
you were going to get a dog.
So one, I was about to walk out of the dog area and leave, and there was this little white fluff ball, this poodle, this toy poodle, and it gets up on its hind legs like this, on its hind legs, and it takes its right paw, and it starts moving it forward like, take me.
And it's waving goodbye?
Yeah, but this dog was 9 years old, and I took it back to spend some time with it and didn't pay any attention to
me. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, so okay. It tricked you into all getting right. the thing out of the cage.
Yes.
Same way I trick people when I'm on all fours and look over my shoulder and go, take me, and then I just ignore them once the door's locked.
Right.
So you didn't feel a connection in that room?
Right.
Well, how many times did you do that? How many times did you take a dog out and spend time with it?
I did it one other time with, I don't even remember, some, I don't know, maybe a hound, and took it outside in the rain at Barks. And the same thing. This dog didn't pay attention to me.
Can I ask you a strange question?
Okay.
At any point, did you consider a cat?
No. I hear crazy talk.
It can be left alone for like 3 weeks at a time.
Off the air, I'll tell you about a dream I had over the weekend involving a cat. It's very disturbing. I can't say it on
air. Not sure if I want to hear that.
But, so I went to all these shelters and didn't really... So the thing is, I didn't see a dog that I really liked or the dog...
Don't go home with one.
Right, or the dog that I was interested in was not available for adoption. So it can be. I understand the shelters are trying to screen the potential adopters,
mm-hmm.
but on the other hand, it is frustrating because it can take a while.
You got a terrier. Want some personality traits.
Okay.
Notoriously feisty with other dogs. Terrier who spends time around other canines in early age may learn to be friendly with them, but it says best suited for a single dog home. Fine, right? Great.
Perfect.
Is your single dog home.
If you don't mind me saying, Spiggs, he met Moose. Moose and...
Whoa, wait a minute.
There was a summit?
Wait a minute.
There was a summit?
When was this?
And they got along great. This was over the weekend. They romped around in the backyard.
Mike invited himself over.
What the f***? You invited
really?
Mike over?
No,
it's okay if you did.
I did
care.
Not invite Mike over. Mike invited himself.
Did you invite yourself or did he invite you?
Well, no, I said they ought to meet sometime. And Josh was like, well, what are you thinking? I'm like, I guess, you know, sometime this weekend. And
so you went over to Speak's house and you let the two dogs off leash in the backyard.
Just ran around.
How nerve-wracking was it for either of you? Were you afraid there might be an incident?
I'll tell you what was so... No, I was very impressed with both dogs, but particularly mine.
Any home?
When Mike pulled up and he came outside to the front yard and I took my dog out on a leash, both dogs are on a leash, and a Moose barked, and my dog immediately drops on his back, submissive.
Ah, yeah.
I was so surprised. And so he was like totally submissive.
Good.
It was amazing.
Wait, so Mike, you idiot, you've been sitting in the corner this whole time and you have firsthand experience with the Farfel.
Yeah. Farfel.
You didn't even tell us. Fill us in.
Bogart and the Farfel.
They were playing out on the deck and wrestling around.
I don't want to know what happened. I want to know your take on Farfel.
No, I think it's a sweet dog. I mean, it's got a lot of energy, but so did my dog at that age.
Is his penis as tiny as Josh has described?
Yeah, the penis is a situation.
Really?
Small penis.
Nice.
Well, that's why he's submissive.
Is it the thing where when it comes to the end of it, there's like a weird little curl of hair?
Yeah, the little curl of hair on the end of the dog penis.
No, it's just a nub. Just
let me add, so personality-wise.
Bell end.
Personality-wise?
Oh, I mean, it was great. I mean, there wasn't anything aggressive
about
him.
1 to 10.
I mean, I'd have to spend more time to really... get
just
know
give
him,
me a damn number.
Whatever, 9. It was
good. Okay.
Oh, that's a good number.
Looks, be honest.
I will say I'm not a huge fan of longer haired dogs, but
he already hates Farfel.
No, but he had the haircut, right. So it was good.
What
I always
about
feel like the petting experience.
Wait,
is,
so is his hair cut? What, how long does his hair get?
I believe he had to be shaven for a skin problem.
What?
Fleas.
At one point, he had fleas.
Damn,
and you came in talking about your leg itching.
No, but the fleas are gone.
They've relocated to your butt hatch.
Yeah, now it's all starting to come
out.
They
told me when his hair grows back,
you're gonna have
he's going to have a beautiful mane of hair.
How long does his hair get?
I have no idea.
Oh, I mean, look at his tail. I mean, probably 3 inches.
Oh. So, looks, Mike, you give him a 6?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good-looking dog. No, not a 6. What do you prefer? No, it's a fine-looking dog. He's healthy. That's what's important. He's healthy.
Personality?
Great. Bubbly. I mean, you know, loves to be pet. Nothing.
But if someone said that about
him.
Tangeray, if you think she's attractive, that's all that matters.
dogs?
You're beating them to death with a hammer.
Here's the part that struck me, Spiegs, on the personality traits. Terriers are commonly friendly, but are rarely the type who thrive on being held or coddled. You love to cuddle, dude.
That's
you
interesting.
Shower
you
with them.
You love to cuddle.
He actually
deep tissue.
Farfel actually loves being held and cuddling. So I don't know.
This says because they were bred to work independently, terriers are less attached to people than other comparable dogs.
Just like you. Here's another thing that I read, that sometimes their bravery will get them in trouble and they will not back down even if the other dog is much, much bigger.
and they like to keep busy, even in old age.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that boredom tips over into chewing and digging.
Mm-hmm.
That was the other thing I said here. It says terriers need a variety of outlets to release their abundant energy.
That's for sure.
Including lots of exercise.
Yeah, take the dog shooting.
Who the hell is going to give this dog exercise?
Because
when I think exercise, I think Josh.
It's definitely we not matched on the energy level. Like
they can make ideal workout partners for activities like hiking, jogging, and long walks.
Oh my god!
What have you done?
I am trying.
Do not leave the couch.
This could be the best thing that's ever happened to you, though. You can have abs.
A new beginning.
New beginning for Josh. Time for a new
get some new walking shoes.
Uh huh.
I'm hoping that he eventually matches my.
You rise to meet his. You rise to meet his.
Well, you know what you got to do? You got to overfeed him.
No, so he gets obese.
That's actually a good idea.
That's the worst idea.
Fatten him up.
No.
You rise up to him. Get out there.
You and this dog both have quads and abs and
he
pecs
hardly
for days.
Eats. It's amazing. My old dog was a pig. She wouldn't stop eating. This dog hardly eats.
You got a lot to learn from this dog.
Chest or something. I don't know.
You got a lot to learn. Stop eating. And start moving.
Well, we're all happy for you, and we can't wait to meet Farfel. Well,
bring him in here tomorrow.
Tomorrow we meet Farfel.
I can't take it.
8 o'clock hour tomorrow.
He won't stop moving.
So what?
He'll drive me crazy.
There's a big parking lot at High Tops to run around in.
He's going to have to be here all day.
Yeah.
God, I hope that dog on the carpet in here.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So the back-to-school phenomenon in my house was, I don't think it's quite as brutal as it was for kids today. I don't even think I did the new outfit thing until I started getting into the later years of middle school and into high school. You'll hear a conversation coming up, back-to-school, like all the stuff they got to buy. We just had to have our own stuff. Backpack full of books, pencils, composition, whatever.
Well, I liked to have new corduroys.
Get them fresh.
Tell
clothes.
Me there was a fresh pair of corduroys around Spiegel's ass the first day of fifth grade.
You remember when half shirts were in? Like kind of like half to three quarter shirts? Like on
like
dudes.
The tummy shirt? The like dude tummy shirt?
Yes.
Yes.
I remember, I think it was like the first day of middle school, like seventh grade or something. I had this red like kind of like tummy shirt. It was in. You know what I mean? I thought it was like the coolest thing. But I had a giant zit also. Here's the thing. There was three elementary schools where I grew up. And then when you got to middle school, all the three elementary schools came together to middle school and then on through high school. So you were meeting a whole bunch of new kids. First day, I have a half shirt on and a giant zit.
Jesus. Hopefully those abs are going to take people's eyes off of the huge growth on your cheek. Coming up this week, it's a tummy shirt Tuesday. We encourage you to cut your shirt in half and show up for work. It was the first day of school for a lot of counties. Now, behind the curtain.
Right now, though.
What is that? What's that coming from?
It's every parent right now. Happy.
Yes,
laughing.
That's every parent right now. The kids are going back to school. Are you excited? Huh?
Oh,
are you happy you're going back to school, huh? The kids are out of the house? I mean, are you going to miss them at all now that they're out of the house?
Mm-hmm. Breathe.
I mean, it's his first day of kindergarten. Are you worried at all?
Yeah.
What about bullies or difficult teachers? Are you worried at all?
Thanks for watching.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Frankie.
410-338-1098, 410-338-1098. Choose a text, give us a call.
Mm.
Thoughts, happy, sad?
Yeah.
It was always the worst, right? was awful. As a kid going back.
No, yeah, it was dreadful. Yeah, but you got to see some of the friends that you didn't normally see good, during the summer.
It's just settling in the first week, finding your new classes. Who's going to... That was always the other big question mark. Who's going to be in my classes this year?
Yeah.
You know a technique
got all your books just right.
All your paper covers. Right.
Everything labeled perfect.
First day binder fish fresh.
Every year, I'm like, I'm going to be so organized this year. This is the year. I turn it all around.
2 weeks later, and everything's a mess.
You open up your locker, and it fell out.
Your trapper keeper breaks.
Keeper broke.
Oh, the teeth don't line up. The teeth start doing this, where they go over top of one another and not connecting.
You got to put them little reinforcements on all your loose leaf paper because it's ripping out of the binder.
Yep.
You got the dividers. Remember the dividers in the binder where this is... This is social studies.
This is math. This is English. This is homeroom. Yeah, and I had them all divided up. And the first week is never actually school. It's just filling out, okay, just in case you start choking on a donut, who do we call? What are you allergic to? You sickly little zilch.
The worst is when they'd go around the room and you'd have to say your name and something you liked and something you... It was just so uncomfortable and unneeded.
What a great idea. Mike, kick it off. Welcome to the first grade of JSS Elementary. We have a new student here. His name is Mike Anderson. He's from Curls University. Mike, would you like to tell us your first name and what you did over the summer?
Mike, would you like to tell us your first name?
His name.
Full name. Full name. First name. Damn it. I'm a student teacher.
Oh, I get so nervous. My anxiety at that age was so bad.
It still is, Mike.
You had no idea. Like, I couldn't speak in front of people.
Really?
Like 2017.
We need to delve deeper into this.
Oh, I mean, it was horrible anxiety. I mean, just social anxiety. Other than that, I was good.
See, I would use that opportunity to make some sort of wisecrack or... Sometimes you play it straight, but sometimes you try and shoot for the chuckle.
My name's Justin, and I got a new skateboard, and I was able to beat Contra with only one life, and I like to masturbate in the woods. Yeah, I'm going to eat alone.
Nip High Football rules.
Yeah, good soup.
Mike, what would you say?
Hi, my name is Mike. I like talk radio, and I drive a silver Hyundai Accent.
In elementary school.
In elementary school.
Yes, Mike was the only kid that drove to elementary school. He was held back. And, there's our little friend Josh on the corner. Josh, what'd you get to this summer?
I went to a camp. to camp in the woods. And played some baseball. Didn't
it's
really
a penis!
Okay, that's right.
Oh, my God.
Here's the teacher. 410-338-1098. Text teacher on the way to year four. Don't want to be there. It's glorified babysitting without the paycheck.
Yeah. Ariel checked in. She's dreading it. She said she has to hold her pee now. She should be able to pee whenever. And now we can't wait to not be able to go pee when the urge hits. She'd call out on the first day, but she has to drop her own beautiful son off.
There was always a son of a bitch teacher that made going to the bathroom such a big deal.
I peed my pants in third grade because of that.
And Ms. Thomas, sir, have the floor.
Well, in second grade in Ms. Albin's class, we were sitting there. This is second grade. Just hanging out doing some work. And then all of a sudden I hear this noise and I'm like, what is that? That noise? That sounds like liquid hitting a hard floor. And I look over, and my good friend, Suzanne Gersenbluth, shout out Suzanne Gersenbluth.
What a name.
Went through 12 years of school with that girl.
Sounds like somebody Keith knows.
Boobs Gersenbluth, she had giant double D breasts when she got older.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she got them heavy breasts.
Jugs Mahoney.
But second grade, sitting next to her.
Big old breasts in second grade.
With a little trickle of urine going off the back of her seat.
Slapping onto
the ground.
Oh, God.
Suzanne Gersenbluth, Peter Pants, second grade. I made fun of her mercilessly. To a year later, third grade.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Miss Thomas, nasty bitch, all pissed off. She's like, that's it. Nobody say another word. You sit there and you read quietly. I don't want to hear a word out of anybody. Little Scotty has to pee.
Oh, no.
He's terrified.
Oh, no, little Scotty.
She said she didn't want to hear a word from anybody.
I gotta pee.
I gotta pee so bad.
little Scotty sitting there. Remember, the classroom was a, the desks were arranged in a U shape. They went down like this, then down around the back of the classroom and around this one. I was about five down on the right side, and I'm just sitting there holding it.
My winky
holding,
hurts.
Holding, and there's only so long the third grader can hold their pee-pee. And little Scotty let it fly, baby. Pee the pants, third grade, Miss Thomas class, because she was a mean, evil bitch.
Oh, that, I just had a memory terrified of her. Back. I remember in elementary school, too, some kid sneezed at the urinal, and his body swung around, and he started peeing all over me.
Oh, God.
Yay!
I remember. Yay! I had to go to the nurse.
Achoo! Oh, God! I got puked on the bus. Oh, yeah. Jimmy Douglas puked on me. Because there was a McDonald's hamburger on the floor, and he thought it was gross, and he saw it, and he puked on me.
I fell asleep on a linoleum desk and created a gigantic slobber pancake that the baseball coach / algebra teacher pushed my face through.
You drooled that hard?
I drooled so hard in class, and he let everyone go, and to wake me up, he just pushed me through the slobber puddle.
I remember, I think it was fourth grade, Miss Albin again. She was my teacher in fourth grade also. It was somebody's birthday, and you could, back in the day when you could bring in like cupcakes, when kids weren't allergic to everything, and you were allowed to make food at home and bring it in. We all had cupcakes, and you know, one of the kids was like out or something, or he wasn't at his desk, so they just put a cupcake on his desk, and she'd always come out into the class and talk to us, and like would sit on one of the desks, and she sat right on a chocolate cupcake and a brown stain on her ass. Not good times.
Oh, my God. All right, let's go to Tim on line one. Tim, line one, you excited to have the kids go back to school?
Go.
Chair. The chair's put in overtime. Very excited.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So here at a break coming up on Behind the Curtain, Mike had a situation with a new resident at his apartment complex who he was under the impression was accusing him of lifting a package. And there's more to unpack here. Is this now soured you, Mike, to her for the remaining time she spends there? Can the relationship be rebuilt, or you never get a second chance to make a first impression?
It's going to take time, but...
Well, you're still assuming that she was accusing.
Well, yeah, but when she has one big advantage in this department, she's very attractive. So I've forgiven her already.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Let me ask the room, because I tend to ride Mike pretty hard in the studio. Well, nice. Hello there.
Oh, yeah.
We're on the air. Here we are a few days removed from this tawdry tale of the package being stolen and Mike believing that this person was accusing him. How much of you does Josh and Justin think that this is on Mike or this is on the woman? Is this Mike overreacting that he was being accused, or do you really think she was accusing him?
We can smell our own. So as a noted overreactor myself, I have a feeling you probably overreacted to the initial knock, move away from the peephole in the door thing. But I do stand in lockstep with you, is trying to read people's body language versus their words sometimes. It's one of the biggest arguments I get into with Buck. It ain't what you say, but how you say it. And if she cops that stance, she puts those hips forward, she doesn't
all,
let it go.
That's all hearsay from Mike, though. That's all hearsay. That's not admissible in court.
I believe
you cannot
him.
Prove that she had that stance and that she was doing that.
I just have to go by what my friend tells me, and I believe that she came at him a little, just
I think
a
Mike
hair sideways.
Sees what he wants to see a lot of times, and he reads into what he wants to read into.
You were hoping to use that weapon.
Spiegel, what do you think?
I don't trust women.
Mike thought he had a package.
Hold on. Mike had a rebuttal. He was reaching in. Go ahead.
I don't even remember what I was going to say, but there was definitely...
Woman.
I probably made it sound worse than it was, but she definitely... There was definitely a tone and...
Why would she accuse you?
I don't
understand.
I don't know.
There's other people in that building, and she zoned in on you, Mike.
Are you the closest apartment to hers?
Yeah, I'm right next to it. Yeah, I don't know if she went and knocked on other people's doors. I'm not sure. I didn't hear her do that. The other thing, too, is how she didn't respond when I asked who's there. She could just said the neighbor.
Maybe she didn't hear you.
I mean, she definitely heard me, because I can hear people like whispering outside that door.
So use the exact same volume. Talk to that wall with the exact same volume. You said who's there.
Who is it? Just like that, because I was already starting to get pissed, so, you know.
It's me!
But I
got a lot
of
listeners saying that she used this as an excuse because she just wants to bang you.
Ooh, this is like a penthouse forum. I'm sorry you can't find the package you were looking for.
Oh, my God.
But I got another package you can have.
When I had
Zip.
You'll hear me talk about Russian neighbors. I had some Russian neighbors there, and the girl was smoking hot.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking hot Russian, real pale skin, but... Yeah, that's a possibility.
Mr. Anderson, I ordered a shipment of seed, but it no arrive. Can I borrow a cup?
Come on in.
Mike thought sorry, go ahead.
I lost my package, but it looks like I found another one right here. Zip!
Yeah, Michael is in a sitch. Can I read the note?
Well, let's... Don't read the note yet.
Gotcha.
Let's set this whole thing up. Because I don't know how much of this is Mike doing what Mike does, where he reads into things and finds meaning in things that the meaning isn't really there.
Mike's permanently on a peyote trip.
He just always tends to take what someone says or the way they say something. And we've seen it happen a million times. He takes it like that one step further. We're all sitting there going, I don't know.
Mike, you want anything from the break room?
What, I can't get something from the f***ing break room? Like I'm not capable? Like my legs don't work?
So yeah, I don't know. But go ahead and set it up. There's a problem at the Anderson compound.
Mm-hmm.
So
you got a new neighbor.
Yeah, which I didn't even know until this occurrence over the weekend. I'm in my apartment getting ready to sit down and eat some corn grits.
Corn grits. What are corn grits? Is that just regular grits?
Great. No, they're Quaker Oats instant corn grits. Delicious. Great complex carbohydrate.
One of my favorite comments from a friend I ever heard is he was watching two fat lesbians kiss upstairs at Angel's Rock Bar, and he said it looked like two trout fighting over the same piece of corn.
So I'm sitting down, and all of a sudden I hear the doorbell ring, and I'm like, oh, God, it's one of these dumb kids doing their stupid newspaper scam, trying to sell me magazines or something for their football team to get uniforms.
We're trying to go to state, mister.
So I go to the door and I pull back the peephole and I don't see anybody. So I'm like, all right, F you. If you're going to step to the side of the door so I can't see you, I'm not even responding. So I sit back down, I start eating, and it rings again. I'm like, all right, mother effer.
Oh.
So I go to the door again and I'm like, who's there?
Oh, you shout through the door.
No answer.
Whoa, what?
Sorry,
so they're hiding from the peephole and not answering.
Yeah, I'm like,
weird behavior to begin with. Okay, so I'm on Anderson's side right now. I'm on your side. This is weird.
You're about to get rolled.
I sit back down again. I'm like, F this person. I'm not even acknowledging them. I'm not opening the door. Like a minute goes by. I'm eating my grits. Rings again. At this point, I'm like, F this. I got instantly pissed off, like enraged that I'm like being intimidated in my own home. So I grab a self-defense weapon, and I go out of my porch door.
Super weird.
Just in case.
What weapon do you grab? What'd you have?
Oh, I don't want to say which weapon.
Why? Tell us.
You want to call your shot just in case there's a second home invasion?
Was it a sword?
Laser?
Just a baton.
Baton?
Nothing crazy. I didn't walk out there with a handgun or anything.
You mean like the kind they use in marching bands?
No, not that kind.
Is it an expanding baton?
Yeah, the riot police would use
it. Yeah, that's what I have. I have one of those.
Those things are great.
Get some.
So I walk outside through the porch door, and I go up the steps, and I open the door, and I, like, you have to go down steps to get to my apartment. So I, like, come flying up the steps, go to the door, and I'm, like, standing above this person. And
wait, so you went out your screen door over your porch fence, because I know how this works, and then you went down around to the left, opened the main door, and you, what is that called? Where you go around the back?
Like the fire escape?
No, he,
Well,
you flanked her.
You flanked her.
Exactly.
You
flanked around the back of her.
And I had the high ground at that point, too.
So you didn't open your apartment door. You went out your thing door, came back around, flanked around the back of her, and then you were standing over her.
At this point, I didn't know who was out there. And
Don't ever get a gun, because you're going to place it to the aisle many times, and it's going to go off, and you're going to blow a pizza delivery guy's head off.
And how does she react to that? Like, wait a minute.
She was taken aback, for sure.
Yeah, but there's a transsexual with a baton standing at the top of the steps gazing down at me.
For all I knew, it was some dude just waiting for me to open the door and then was going to punch me in the face because, again, I couldn't see them and they weren't responding. So
you were getting ready to attack.
And I was pissed. I was pissed.
And wait, are you holding a baton at this
point? No, it was just in my pocket. I wasn't, like, wielding it or anything.
Okay, you were holding it, like, menacingly?
So
who sent you?
Yeah.
What do you want? How have you come to be here?
Confused, and she's like,
nope. Yeah, she's confused because she's knocking on one door, and then she turns around, and you're standing behind her.
That's right, baby.
Jesus,
and she's like,
man.
Do you live here? And I'm like,
wait,
oh,
so this is a huge, this, Mike, the way she reacts has a lot to do with, I think, what you did, because you snuck up on her from behind.
If you ask who's there, she could have said,
but when you told us the story yesterday, we knew nothing about the flanking and the weapons and the high ground. We thought you opened the door like there was a brownie out front looking to raise money for the local jamboree coming up at the end of the month. I had no idea.
You know how paranoid I am of being murdered.
That's what I'm talking
Mike
about.
Mike constantly thinks he's going to be murdered by everyone.
It's going to be a little tougher than knocking on my door, I'll tell you that much. So she's like, oh, do you live here? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And she's like, oh, I live right next door to you. And I'm like, oh. And at that point, I'm like, I felt like a complete a-hole idiot. And I'm like, crap. God, this is the worst way to meet my neighbor, my brand new freaking neighbor.
And you're Mr. like, oh, you don't say hi to your neighbors. You're not cordial to your neighbors. You're flanking your neighbor with a baton.
I immediately was like, oh, I'm Mike. It's nice to meet you. I went and shook
Welcome to the Anderson Complex.
And she's a small, attractive girl. And she's
you're an idiot.
Oh, no.
I got a package, but it's gone. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. She's like, do you know what happened? Or have you seen it? And I was like, no, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was the adrenaline or what, but I got like super nervous and anxious. And it was weird. I got really nervous around her. And she was like very intense, too. She was like kind of like, you could tell she was pissed.
Was she in a power stance? Was she gazing at you?
Yeah, it was like that kind of stance you'd use with your toddler if they, you know, did something bad.
Did your hand at any point float to the weapon in your back pocket?
No, at this point, like I said, I'm kind of like taken aback and I'm embarrassed and I'm anxious and nervous, oddly nervous. And she continues this line of questioning about the package. And I'm like, sometimes they leave it on the porch. She's like, no, I checked. It's not there. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I haven't even really been around much this weekend, which was a complete lie. I'd been there the entire time.
Your argument is falling.
Eating corn grits all weekend.
You ambushed her, and now you're lying to her.
You're mumbling,
and you're nervous.
Yeah,
and
I'm thinking, and as I'm getting nervous, I'm like, she's probably thinking I'm nervous because I stole the package, and it's like a feedback loop, and I get more and more nervous, and I'm like, thinking, oh, great, now she definitely thinks I stole the freaking package. And then she's asking me about the neighbors. Do you know these people? And I'm like, oh, yeah, they're all good people. No one would steal a package. I get packages all the time.
In this neighborhood, you know, the apartment complex where someone threw a chunk of mortar through my window? Nothing bad happens around these parts.
Yeah, I will say, but I've never had a package stolen. I've never heard of anything like that happening at this complex.
You've just had bricks thrown through your window.
And, like, she won't end the conversation. She keeps, like, pushing her agenda.
I don't think she was pushing the agenda. I think she was just trying to gather information as to what might have happened.
Even knocked my door to ask me about the package would insinuate that she thought that maybe I took it for whatever reason. Mm. Why else would she ask me? It's like,
did she say what was in the package?
It was a big package, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, well, I haven't seen a package.
The fact that she knocked on your door, you take that to that means that she's accusing you.
If you had a package go missing, would you start knocking on your neighbor's
door? Yeah, just be like, hey, have you seen anything? Did you see anybody? Maybe she was just trying to gather some information. Do you always take it to that she's accusing you? That's my point. You go like two or three steps.
The next day, I go outside and look at the bulletin board outside the door, and there's a note there written by her.
How about after sports, we read the note?
Okay.
After sports, coming up with Keith, we will read
the note.
Ambush Anderson.
It was a very accusatory tone.
Mm-hmm. Ambush Anderson over there.
And Flanking Anderson.
Was not nice at
Baton
all.
Baton Anderson.
Coming up after sports.
Oh, I was wondering, Keith, a hypothetical here for you.
Yeah, pudding.
You order a package. It says it's been delivered. You go outside. It's not there. First course of action, what do you do?
First course of action is call the company where it was delivered from.
That's very logical.
Like, if you mean like FedEx, UPS, or whatever?
Right, right, right.
Yeah, call.
You're not giving the whole scenario, Mike. You can't.
Somebody stole your package.
You can't tweak things to fit your agenda all the time.
That's what happened.
You
live in an apartment building.
Yeah.
And there's three or four apartments that are very close. You've just moved in.
Yeah.
And you got a new package, and you're new to the area. You don't know how things work there. Your email says the package was delivered. It's not there. What do you do?
You knock on the door and say, give me my package, man.
Now, when you tailor the exact situation, Mike,
in there
you
go,
see how the response is different.
Why would you not contact the carrier first?
But how do you know she didn't?
Secondly, this was on Labor Day.
Okay.
I wanted to be like,
okay, well, now you're
in. It's role play.
Now you're just, yeah, you okay. got a role play. Exactly. Let's do it, Mike. You can't just tailor your little argument.
Hand me the Astro Glass.
I'm a guy from UPS. Yes, Mr. Anderson, the package was delivered at 8:19 a.m. by Mr. Steven Johnson.
And now what do you do?
So the ball's in your court.
Now the ball's in your court. So what do you do? You go knock on the
door. Knock on the door and
say,
did you guys see a package out front?
You say, oh, yeah, I did see. Mike, if she knocks on your door and says, did you see a package? How does she not know that you're not going to go, oh, yeah, I did see it. It was here earlier. That was probably around 2 o'clock, and it was sitting there. So I saw it. It was here at 2 o'clock. Maybe she's going to get some intel. She's just looking for intel, dude. Not accusing you of stealing,
psychopath.
You
were stealing.
Yeah, she came
to
my door.
No, Mike thinks she is.
Oh, she was.
Because he's a psycho.
Because there was a tone, and there was an energy.
And there was a power stance.
And
the way she glared at him.
She glared at me.
And Mike grabs himself a baton.
You're neurotic.
He crawls around the side of the entrance. He doesn't go through his own door. He flanks her. Gets to the top of a set of stairs and then asks what
and
she
surprises
needs.
Surprises her from behind.
Surprises her.
Sneak attacks.
Comes up on her
six. Can I help you?
Out of the tall grass. Is anybody there?
Did you ask what the package was?
No, I didn't. But I only did that. I only flanked her because...
She knocked three times.
She knocked three times.
She was hiding from the peephole.
Yeah,
and she didn't
people.
Answer when you yelled through the door, which is all weird.
Yeah, very odd behavior.
Very odd behavior.
So, yeah,
this is a weird situation.
I didn't
want
to risk any bodily harm, so I made sure I was in the power position.
Mike, can I share a power position with you that I was talking
power
to you about
bottom.
Off air?
Yeah.
Power bottom Anderson. I've pulled a similar maneuver when I get a long unknowing knock at my door. I'm not comfortable saying how many times, but it's been more than five, that someone has knocked on the door. I don't have an eye hole in my door.
Peek out the window? What do you do?
No, I have to go all the way up. I have to look. If it's late at night, there have been more times than I care to announce that whoever has been on the other side of the door did not realize that the man on the inside of the door was holding an AR-15.
No.
Just in case. And I'll just have... Can I help you? Like, I'll be out this side of the door.
Yeah, you'll be like
but
this.
But this arm over here. This arm over here. I've got an AR. Can I help you?
Yeah, like,
hey, son, your neighbors are getting their roof redone. Like, oh, okay.
I mean, that's how most home invasions begin. They check to make sure you're not there.
So, Mike, maybe she was just hitting on you.
That's also a possibility.
Yeah, no, he does. His brain doesn't go to that.
Distinct possibility.
No chance. No chance.
No, she wasn't interested in me in the least. I could tell.
Keith Mills, anything else?
She knows you're the man from 98 Rock. That's what she knows.
Does not know that.
I'm good.
Keith, we'll talk to you again 8 o'clock hour.
410-338-1098, 410-338-1098. Mike had three knocks at his door, couldn't see through the peephole. Person didn't respond. He hops over his balcony, runs around the back of the backside with a baton. Turns out it's his new neighbor, a small, attractive little woman, inquiring about a package that has gone missing.
Yeah. She drilled me. I'm out there for like 2 minutes being questioned by I felt like I was accosted by police.
I would love to see security footage. And if we all sat down, what are the chances if we sat and watched footage of this that we would consider it a drilling?
Oh, definitely.
Justin, look at me. What are the chances?
Like I would say like 10%. Like, have you seen my package? No.
If you're on live,
if you happen to see anything, just let me know.
That's probably what it was.
This was probably grilling me.
This is the exact body language I was dealing with. Get the live wire.
Well, you just surprised her from behind.
She's sassy.
You went up around the back of her.
Yeah, I diffused that by, like I said, introducing myself and apologizing. I said I didn't know who you were because I couldn't see through the peephole, so I was afraid.
With a weapon.
But again, and then she drilled me.
And then, so then you leave your apartment yesterday or whatever day, and then there's a note left. What is the note? What is the note on the bulletin
yesterday,
board?
Yesterday, there's a bulletin board in my lobby.
Right in that little vestibule lobby thing.
Yeah, there's a note there. Let me pull it up here.
I'm looking right at it.
You want to read
it? Oh, you tweeted it? Oh, damn.
Here it is.
Yeah, if you want to see it,
you're not doing yourself any favors. If she finds out who you are.
Good. I hope she does.
The letter reads on the community bulletin board, "Hey, kindly return my package that was taken from my front door. I appreciate you keeping it for me. Thanks, apartment. P.S. You don't need it. You don't need it.
So I will say she has already now taken it to the point where
it's a catheter.
It's been stolen. She's made up her mind.
Right.
I think she was already had her mind made up. Maybe she was accusing you.
What
I don't know.
She's insane.
Was she just getting intel or fact finding, or was she already just? It seems like she jumped real quick to.
If she
this was stolen, I'm going to start accusing people.
She could have
back up.
Yeah, I said no. I didn't see anything. She could have ended it right there.
She never reached out to shake your hand. Hi, I'm new to the neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, she could have started there.
Not ingratiating herself, because she's probably had this conversation similar tone with multiple other neighbors. Have you thought about asking a third neighbor? Hey, did you run into the lady from apartment about the package? Oh, yeah. Oh, and she was really accusatory.
Yeah,
and try and gain allies. That's what I do. I surround myself with like-minded individuals.
Everybody in that building's great, too. Super nice. I love them all. It's like, I know none of them would steal a freaking package.
And here's the other thing.
Neighbor.
It's like a little protected. You got to go in through a door. You can go down some steps or up some steps, and there's apartments. How many apartments are in there? Eight or four? Or?
I think 12.
It's a hive.
Well, either way, it's not out in the open. So the package was inside a door, down next to her door. It's kind of, because in the city, if I were to come home and see a package at one of my neighbor's houses, I would immediately walk over, pick up the package, and just put it in my house.
Don't touch it!
Because they get stolen all the time. And then I would, you know, wait till later in the evening when I knew they were home or something, and just go knock and go, hey, I grabbed your package for you. I didn't want to get stolen. They'd be like, oh, thank you. So, but in this case, it's not like that. The package isn't sitting out on a front step.
Yeah.
So nobody would need to take the package and put it into their apartment for safekeeping, right?
Yeah, I've never heard of anybody complaining about stolen packages in this building. Not to say it can't happen, but I see these packages sitting outside of doors all the time and nobody screws with them.
I'll tell you exactly what happened. I know exactly what happened. There's something we're overlooking. She's a new resident of the apartment complex, right?
It got sent to her old place.
Jackpot.
It
got sent to your old place.
Yep.
When I moved,
she's gonna see. You're gonna feel like a real idiot,
like a dum dum.
You're gonna feel like a dum dum in about 3 days
when you're giving Mike the old hairy eyeball.
And you apologize to Mike.
You give him smooches.
Here's an update. My girlfriend texted me this morning.
Oh,
the note's gone.
Oh,
so she got the package. See, I want you to apologize to Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, it was Labor Day weekend, and I'm thinking,
you know, it probably got delayed.
They probably went to the post office. They probably screwed up when they scanned it, and it accidentally said it was actually delivered. I'm like, no one's delivering packages this weekend. I don't care if it says it's been delivered.
Yeah, this is on her.
Nobody's out this weekend.
Mike, I apologize to you as well.
I feel bad.
I do think maybe you are a little neurotic. And you do.
You think everyone's going to murder you.
You do think everyone's going to murder you.
At all
you do
times.
Think everyone's accusing you, and you do think everyone's slighting you.
Sure.
But that's just your
just
neurotic nature.
But again,
I'm just
super safe.
I guess going to the door is not that odd, but again, she wouldn't drop it. And I'm just like, look, this isn't some sort of conspiracy here.
Bitch, my corn grits is getting cold.
I know. Oh, God.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if you had a haircut, she wouldn't have been so accused of it.
Yeah,
I think your look doesn't do you any favors.
I have been accused of being a terrorist on multiple occasions. Or looking like one, at
looking
least.
Looking like one now? We got to get this person on the phone.
Time to
get that person on the phone.
What's the over-under on you being able to reach out and get her on with us?
No. Or at least get her on. That would be a 10.
God, be amazing.
But can you do this? Can you make me this promise? When you get home later today, maybe this evening when you know she's around, just walk over and knock on her door and just being like, hey, I noticed the note was gone. I was just wondering whatever happened with your package.
Follow up.
Just follow up.
I'm going to try to catch
be too
her
helpful.
Coming or going.
Be way too helpful.
Be like, hey, sorry, you know, I don't know if, you know, our interaction earlier in the week was a little weird, but I saw the note, now the note's gone, and I was just curious, whatever happened with that whole thing?
Double down.
And you can also be like, because I get a lot of packages delivered here, too, and I don't want some of mine starting to go missing, so I was just wondering, maybe we got a package thief, or did you find a package?
It got me worried.
Yeah, got, yes, yes. Yes,
it's a good thing.
Thank you. You've shown a light on
and
it.
And then get to figure out what happened.
I want to know what this package is, too.
It's got to be real important. It's like heart medicine.
She told me, it was, she's like, it's a really big package. You would have seen it. I'm like, okay.
Bake
well,
a tray of brownies. Bring over the brownies.
Too much.
But have the brownies all look like little packages. Have them all look like little UPS packages.
It's time to go behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So in the days since we've had the discussion about it, has anybody's opinion changed about the roundabout? Particularly, is it the roundabout in general or... is it the Towson roundabout?
It's the Towson roundabout.
People said for many years, and this was probably before I lived here. I moved to the area in 1999, 2000. That prior to that, it was a four-way. And all along York and Delaney, north and south, everything would back up. And it's since alleviated that backup, but it's created a whole new set of nightmares with you getting in there. And someone else pointed something out after we were done with the break, while we're doing this best of behind the curtain. It is treacherous as hell for a pedestrian.
Oh, yeah. Didn't even think about that.
If people are trying to cross the circle to make their way down to where, you know, the old Rucker used to be or the movie theater or whatever, man, you better be fleet of foot or someone's going to tag that ass.
Mike has hit several pedestrians.
Yes, he has.
Lately has been driving me nuts is trying to pull out of my complex on the Cranbrook, which at rush hour, you might as well be trying to pull out on the 95.
I recently moved up and near in and around you, and I've been bumping around the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And like right around lunchtime,
oh.
It's pandemonium. It's like I was like, I get it's like, you know, it's supposed to be better than the city, but gee, like the city is not that freaking crowded. It was insane. Up and down York Road, I couldn't even freaking, and that's the thing. I mean, I live there and I'm used to being in the city and kind of walking places, but if I try to like mess with York Road on foot, it's like, I don't even want any part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Any part of it.
I should have brought this up on the show. I actually emailed the Baltimore County Police Department.
Whoa!
Because there's a crosswalk right by me.
He's thorough.
And the other day, I pull up to the crosswalk, and there's a guy with his toddler and a baby carriage, and he's trying to go down the street. So I see him there. I'm like, okay, well, I'm stopping for this guy. Good Lord, he's got two kids with him. So I stop, and he starts to cross. Another car comes whizzing past me and like almost clips him.
Oh,
I could, and it happens every day. People in the crosswalk, nobody pays attention.
Are there signs that must stop for pedestrians in crosswalk?
Yeah, it's got like the crosswalk signs on either side. So I emailed the cops. Yesterday, I'm coming out of the gym. Cops sitting right there waiting.
Oh, watch. Yeah. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. Justice Anderson helps prevent a murder. We got talking about the roundabout, particularly the one in Towson, on Behind the Curtain. What happened over the last week? I'm reading here on my schedule. It says Josh Spiegel versus the roundabout.
Well, if you've driven in Towson in the past 20 years, you know that there's this roundabout in Towson.
Oh, yeah. I had an incident there. Go ahead. But I can piggyback your story.
Of course,
story
I'm
because,
sure.
Yeah,
because I'm sure everybody has. Oh, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So I was in Towson where I was shopping. And you got to go around that roundabout. And we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of the roundabouat. I did some research.
Whoa.
Wow.
You went deep. Yeah. You went hard, deep and hard on
and
the roundabout.
Because I wanted to know the roots of it. And
why someone would have said in whatever city planning meeting, light, nah. Stop sign,
right.
Pass.
Yeah.
Why don't we do a roundabout so we can continue to see Big Ben in Parliament over and over again?
Right. So I saw a shiny light and lost interest in the research. So all I gained was that it's 20 years old soon. But anyway, but it's always bothered me. But it's so ridiculous because I don't know if I was just in a bad mood when I went around it the last time, last week or 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make any sense. I don't know why they don't either make it better, clearer to get out of there because or just get rid of it all together. I want them to get rid of the roundabout. I don't understand what the point of it is. I'm very curious to hear how many people have had accidents or incidents. And
what is your story?
Well, it was just, I don't
know. Nothing? Nothing happened? No, it was, I mean, just hated it.
Yeah, it was basically, I almost.
I thought there was like a big thing.
No.
I got trapped in it, like you ended up in Lampoon.
You ended up in the center and you were just trapped there for hours.
I almost hit a car. Okay.
Oh.
If you must know, I almost sideswiped a car because you don't know it's almost like there's one lane and there's kind of another lane. And do you go right? Do you go left? It's very confusing. And I don't know how it's not on everybody's mind and why there aren't protests.
Conway Road, Patuxent Road, Myers Station Road, Gambrills, Maryland, a stone's throw from Joe Robinson's house that I'll visit from time to time. We'll do like murder mystery rehearsals, whatever. There's an effing roundabout right there that if you catch it at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, a little bit of rush hour traffic.
Oh, yeah.
You might as well just put a four-way light.
Yeah.
Because the amount of people caught trying to wedge themselves in and then wedge themselves back out.
Yeah.
I can't understand the reasoning behind it. Maybe there's a civil engineer that could explain it.
And how about yielding? People don't know what yield means. Okay. Yield. It's a free for all.
It's a weird dance of a perfect yield mixed with enough aggressiveness to make you got to yield. You got to be aggressive. You got to kind of.
It's a lot of confidence in the driver.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That was going to be my theory, was that Spiegel maybe didn't have enough confidence going. You got to have confidence going into the roundabout. If you got to get right, you got to get right. But you can't be reckless about it. But you need to make, sometimes you need to make bold moves.
It's not a roadway for the beta, which is why I avoid them. It's the roadway version of the self-checkout aisle. As a people, we're too dumb to use it. We just can't do it without the light flashing and someone going over and saying, why'd you try and scan a banana? These things, someone's just going to get caught in. The majority of sideswipes off the highway have to occur in roundabouts. And the Towson one is the pits.
It is like a merry-go-round. It's like a drunk game of Twister.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a lot of fun, actually.
It's kind of sexy. You ever play a drunk game of Twister?
That's not a very good analogy.
It's like Evans here.
Choose your own adventure.
Turn to page 48 if you'd like to drive your Subaru into the side of a box truck.
You know, I think that the county needs to remove it immediately.
I don't think they can.
I think that in the middle of the night, so there are no protests.
They? But what the hell they put there?
Red lights and stop signs.
Huge ramp. It's like, look at all these roads that converted. One, two, like three,
what,
four.
Yeah, what used to six be there road. Is my question.
Yeah, if it's only been there 20 years, right, like what was there before?
Dirt roads and horseback.
Mm-hmm.
Should we get Kamenetz on the program?
Maybe.
Yes, we should.
This is our new campaign.
This is it. First we had Justice for Honker, and now we had the Josh Spiegel Towson ramp. Very Dukes of Hazzard style. Yeah, just two bales of hay with some wood.
Well, I was going down it the other day. Oh, there's a little park there, Millennium Park. Look at this. I think I was coming down either York or Delaney. I was headed south, and I was going around the roundabout, and I was going to go to that the Towson Hot Bagel there.
Oh, that's a good story.
It's great. I love shout out THB, baby. Shout out. And you got to be, to go down that street, you got to be in the far right lane. Yeah. And I'm going around like this.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy goes from the center lane and cuts all the way across. Oh. And then has the audacity to honk at me like I did something wrong.
What are you doing, smartass?
And he slams on his horn and like cuts in front of me. I'm like, dude, you're the homie cutting across the lane.
CJ says, nightmare. The Towson Circle is cancer. No one yields. Everyone flies into it at full speed. Hate it every day.
And I just think,
I think there's a way to navigate Towson without having to go through the circle. You got to just know what roads to take.
The community should stop taking it because we've been taking it for 20 years. It's time to rise up.
You mean like taking it?
Like, yeah, taking it.
Not like using the circle. You mean like taking it?
Yeah, like taking it, like being taken advantage of. Like we shouldn't have this shoved down our throat anymore.
Well, you know what? Whoa. Maybe just like Black Lives Matter, we all go out and
we want you to work here tomorrow, Mike. Damn.
I want you to be alive.
Spiegel versus the Roundabout in Towson. He was out trying to get a bagel sandwich or whatever the hell Spiegel does during the day. And he encountered the Roundabout. Almost hit a car.
Move!
And he just realized how much he hates the effing Roundabout.
I can't think of anybody I've ever talked to in casual conversation that's been like, oh yeah, sweet, a Roundabout. I love a challenge.
Well, they're not really for us. They're for the flow.
You know, if they were all single lane, I think that would solve a lot of problems. It's the multi-lane Roundabout is where things get really confusing.
And the lane, for example, you're in one lane going around, and then the lane to veer off to the right is so small, it's very confusing.
You
got to
make a quick move. You got to be on your toes. You got to be ready. You got to be ready to get right.
Wasn't there a guy that like set up shop in the middle of that thing once, a dude with like a tent? I feel like someone at some point during like the Occupy movement, the dude just posted up right in the middle of that Towson circle.
Well, that sounds right.
Yeah, nobody can get to him.
How the hell are they going to get to him? He can't get anywhere. Hope you brought plenty of supplies. You could live off of that 30-square-foot plot of land.
Got a bunch of texts here. 410-338-1098. Roundabout works fine if you're not a complete moron.
Oh. Wow. It's a little excessive, but wow. I tend to agree.
In Josh's defense, that particular Roundabout is terrible, but 30 countries around the world that I have traveled to, oh, humble brag.
Whoa, watch out now. Jet setting James Bond checking in.
They all laugh at the United States for the red light system. Almost everything overseas is a Roundabout. Towson has a bypass that you can use to miss the circle. Yeah, I knew that. It's that road when you're coming down like York or something. I don't know. It's a bypass. Using the traffic... used to be a traffic light, and traffic would back up through York Road South in front of all the stores. So it was a traffic light there. Josh, don't go near Seven Corners Roundabout. You'll be stuck in there forever.
Let's go to the phones. 410-338-1098. Ryan Linthicum, thank you for holding, bud. Ryan.
Traffic circles are perfect.
Yeah.
You don't have to stop. They're designed to keep traffic moving.
Yes.
If you're hard-headed and you want to fight it, that's where you'll have the problem.
Gotta go with the flow, baby.
What Josh is thinking is it sounds like you just like lights. You like the safety. You like the stop. You like the control.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But what you'll end up with is DuPont Circle, and that's what we don't want. DuPont Circle down in Washington, D.C. is a nightmare. Because they added lights to it. That way you have to stop every 20 feet in the circle, and that's not good.
But DuPont Circle does suck.
Yes, in many ways. But getting around the Towson Roundabout, it's like people don't know how to stop. People just go, don't yield. And there's no, you're saying you're not supposed to stop, but how are you supposed to know when to go?
Because you got to wait for people to be done coming. When you're you're parked there, you have to be ready to go if no one's already coming.
Yeah.
If you're sitting there waiting, then that's one thing. But if you're sitting there when nobody's coming, then you're the jerk at the circle.
Okay. Well,
you're jerking it at the circle.
Yeah.
All right. And trying to figure out when to come and when to stop. And
part of the problem is that, like in America, you know, we have these big, long, expansive roads, and it's a big country. And so the American driver is inherently very passive and lazy. Like driving in this country can be, unless you're in like Manhattan or in a, where you need to drive. Here you can just
kind of... Oh, it's 10 and 2 in Times Square. You ain't casually checking your phone.
But here, you know, like, here the roads are big and they're flowing. They got a lot of lights. You can just be very passive. You could be very lazy and still make it around this. But then when you come to a Roundabout where you actually need to engage and be on your game...
Go!
That's right. Then that's what happens.
I can't tell you how many times I've driven the expanse of Ritchie Highway, kind of maybe doing something in the car also. I'm like, oh, I drove 9 miles and didn't realize it. Because there's a light every 30 effing feet. Then you talk to Kerry Plackmeyer, one of the main engineers, if not the dude at the top of the heap here, who's been on the actual Autobahn before.
Right.
And the stories he tells.
Right.
You got to be a jet fighter pilot, aware of your surroundings at all times. There ain't changing radio stations. So put it on 97.9 and rip off the knob. checking out your phone, fidgeting with like a bag of chips in the passenger seat.
Just zoning out.
You're
like
just
not paying,
driving.
Yeah, not doing ever. And then you come to the circle and you need to be, you know, there's a flow to it. You need to merge. You need to get out. You need to, you know, it's tough.
Well, let's talk to a gentleman from the state highway.
What?
Steve.
Shout out, Steve.
Shout out, State Highway Steve, SHS, checking in about why circles are actually better than lights. Steve, you have the floor, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Love the show.
God bless you, sir, for your hard work.
Listening since I moved down here from up north, so big fan.
God bless you. Shout out, Steve.
No, paisano. But anyways, yes, the last caller was right with the circles about keeping traffic flowing, no traffic light. Mike, I think, is a little right, too. The double lane, not the best idea in the world, personally. From, I know Scott, probably Rhode Island is roundabout Circle Central, but it is better than a traffic light. It's just people need to learn how to drive, and the upside down triangle does mean yield, and you have to wait your turn. I know no one likes that, but.
And then when you know, but then when your term comes, you also need to be ready to get up in there. You got to get up in there.
Yeah, just like merging on the highway. You can't be doing 20 miles an hour. You got to pay attention, get ready.
You got to be ready to go. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, when the guy,
that's right.
When they're all done coming, and it's your turn, you got to be ready to get right up.
Get up in it. Don't just sit there.
Yeah, get up in there. No jerking around. You got to be ready when you're coming. You know, no messing around here.
Somebody says the Towson Circle used to have a traffic light, and it would take 10 to 20 minutes just to get through the traffic light.
Whew.
Traffic circles are more efficient. Mythbusters did an episode on them.
Oh, did
and
they?
They move more people per hour than an intersection with stop signs.
Mythbusters did an episode on it, has become the new Simpsons did it. Whenever we get talking about anything, you'd be like, hey, Scott bought a house somewhere. So did the Mythbusters. Let's go to, thank you for the call, Steve. Mike, I put him on hold. State Highway Administration Steve might be a go-to guy of ours. Let's go to Andy in Parkville. Andy's been holding. Andy, good morning.
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 Hey. Us as human beings, it seems like driving, can't drive in circles. Most people cannot. I don't know what it is.
Right.
I drive for a living. It's not that bad. But like the state, the one texter said, there used to be a light there at the circle. They changed that because there was more fender benders now than there were prior, but the fatalities have dropped from people running the red lights at that busy intersection.
Wow.
So, Josh, you could be dead.
Wow.
Whoa. Be dead.
Don't you put that be on happy. Me, Ricky yeah. Bobby.
Be happy there's a circle. Pulse. You could be dead.
Oh, my God.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So we had the pleasure of having Andy Cohen on the program on Wednesday. Andy Cohen, if you've ever watched anything on Bravo, if you've watched the new Love Connection, that's Andy Cohen. That's the guy. And, you know, that day you did a story about Steve Harvey doing everything in front of the camera. Andy Cohen seems like he does just as much in front of as he does behind the camera. And I don't know how he does it all.
And something that I didn't know for a while was that Andy Cohen actually came from the news world.
Wow.
I think he started as an intern or
yes, what is that? I remember
at
that
CBS
story.
News, and he worked with Dan Rather
really?
For a while. Yeah, and I think he has some sort of a radio show now, and he has Dan Rather on sometimes. But
you ever seen long hair Andy Cohen?
No.
1990s Andy Cohen.
He's a huge deadhead.
Oh, that's
oh
right.
My God.
Look at long crimped hair Andy Cohen.
That looks like Kenny G.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, I think he's like into the Grateful Dead and stuff. He's a pretty interesting dude. I mean, I don't know. I stand in awe of people like that. Like people make fun of Ryan Seacrest. I'm like, why would you ever make fun of that guy? That guy is like a juggernaut. He's a phenom. And the same goes for like Andy. He basically built a whole freaking network. What was Bravo doing before like Andy Cohen came up?
Probably movies.
And, yeah, like, Bravo
changed the network.
Reruns
like,
and crap.
Like that's happened a lot like over the last however many years, I guess. But like there's certain networks that are no longer resemble what they once were.
VH1. MTV, ESPN, right? To an extent.
You need you need to adapt to succeed. You can't, you know, you can't just be complacent, and you need to reinvent yourself. But like, the guy reinvented a freaking network. How much is he worth? I don't even know. It's
That's
insane.
A great question. Can you hold on? Let's do a celebrity. Let's do a celebrity net worth.
It's very easy to look at an Andy Cohen and go, "Oh, he's that flamboyant gay guy, Housewives." It's like, no, dude. He's like,
there's no way this is all. And see, this is when I think celebrity net worth just S's the bed. Real Housewives, Love Connection, Below Deck, Watch What Happened Now, all the Bravo stuff, $15 million. There's no way. You tack a zero at the ass end of that thing, I believe you.
$15 billion.
We had a chance to talk to Andy Cohen. He was great. He was a little sleepy, but he gave us the inside scoop on a couple of our favorite shows and the new Love Connection on Behind the Curtain.
Justin Scott, speak on 90 Rock, 90Online.com. And I DVR it every Thursday night because we got to be up nice and early. Got to be fresh for the show. So
fresh
DVR
to death.
It's Thursdays on Fox, 9 p.m. He hosts it. He produces it, and he also produces your favorite show, Spiegel.
Oh,
your favorite show of all time, The Housewives.
Real Housewives of everything.
My God. God bless you. Love them all, dude.
God bless you, Andy Cohen.
Andy Cohen.
God bless you, Andy Cohen. Doing the Lord's work.
I'm hey so guys. Excited right now.
Oh,
how are you?
How you doing, buddy?
Good morning.
Where are you?
Good morning,
are you in
Baltimore.
New York?
How's it going?
You in New York City? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in New York City.
Nice. Now, Andy, you reheated it. You brought it back. The Chuck Woolery classic from the, was it the 80s? It had to be the 80s. The white set.
It was the 80s,
The white set. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
2 and 2.
I mean, I loved every second of the original Love Connection. And I will say, I've DVR'd every single episode. I watch every single episode leading up to it. Dude, you're killing it. You've brought it back, and it is back to life. Love Connection is back, baby.
Thank you so much. I love the show. I think it's so fun. I think it's so funny. It's still all about kind of first dates and the he said she said behind them, and it's funny, man. We have our first ever gay guys on the show tomorrow night, and which is going to be great at 9, and then we've also got a woman who winds up kind of trying to come on to me for her whole segment. She's like trying to get me to go on an overnight date with her. I'm like, you don't understand, this is not going to work out for you.
Yeah, like, the Jew-talian Valerie.
Yes.
Andy, I watch all of the Real Housewives shows. All of them I have since the beginning. New York, New Jersey, OC, Beverly Hills, Potomac, Dallas.
Jesus.
Every one of them. I tell everyone I meet, you got to watch it. And I try to get guys to watch. I try to get my coworkers to watch it. But they refuse. And I'm very curious how many guys watch the show. How can I get more people in my limited social circle to watch it so that I can have something to talk about with them?
Well, you know, Michael Rapaport is a huge Housewives fan, watches all of them. Jerry O'Connell's a big Housewives fan. I know a lot of guys who watch, and usually what happens is the guys' girlfriends, you know, get them into the show because it'll be on all the time, and then the guys start watching, and then they're totally hooked. So the answer is way more guys than you think watch the show, and specifically a lot of couples watch the show. I mean, I know a lot of women who've gotten their men into the show, and then the men are just kind of on their own and really into it.
And Andy, can I read you the community message board message? My girlfriend, baby mama, wrote for me last year on Father's Day. And you tell me if anything jumps out at you here. She writes, and I read here, "Thanks for being more Shep and less new Craig. Happy Father's Day from the entire family." I am deep into the Southern Charm game. I mean, deep into the Southern Charm game, to the point where I am now fully Team Catherine. I feel like she's got her life back in order. I think she needs to get her ass away from that hideous Ravenel. She needs to be a little bit more Patricia. And Shep needs to finally get his ass in gear and find love, because I'm sick of seeing him hanging out with nothing but college-age kids and waking up at 2 o'clock when all his friends are trying to do is trying to teach him a craft and to get him into real estate. It's all Cameron wants to do, soon-to-be new mom Cameron.
I am deep in Southern Charm.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.
Are you a Vanderpump Rules guy, too?
I don't know what I did to offend you, but I'll take a Pinot Grigio. What? What? I've had shirts made. I am literally half gay. I am 50%.
So, Andy Cohen, where does your... Because we have... I mean, we are all like... I'm a Bravo fanatic. So where, how far reaching is the Andy Cohen reign when it comes to Bravo?
Well, I'm not in charge of programming at Bravo anymore. I left my programming responsibilities like 4 years ago, I think.
Okay.
I am still an executive producer of all of the Housewives shows.
Okay.
So that is still very much under my purview, casting and hiring and firing and the whole thing. And so, yeah, but Southern Charm was a show that I developed during my time at Bravo and Below Deck. And,
dude, Below Deck.
Vanderpump.
Below Deck is my jam.
It's my second
place show. It was back.
Show.
It came back last night, right? The new episode with Captain Lee is back. Oh, it's on my DVR. I'm so excited
love
to get
Captain
home today.
Lee.
Andy, we love you so much.
Andy, as being in charge of casting for Real Housewives, how do you find all these lunatics? for instance, Leanne, who is, you might not say it, you know she's completely out of her mind, a Real Housewife of Dallas. Leanne, I'm concerned about the other women's safety.
Well, don't be concerned about their safety, but do be concerned about being entertained when Leanne is on the screen, because she is a total piece of work. And I know, isn't it incredible the women that we find? I mean, it's...
I love it. I just love watching it.
The Hot Mess Express.
Sometimes, yeah.
What is their motivation behind being on a show like this? Are they compensated well for being on a show like this?
You know, for the first few seasons, not really. I mean, I think that they, one thing that money can't buy is fame, and something that the show brings.
I guess, yeah. So, I mean, it does, but.
Yeah,
it's just weird because you can't even answer the question. It's like, what is the
what's the motivation?
Well, I
don't know.
Exciting for them.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but I've read that someone like NeNe, the star of the Atlanta Housewives, was making $1 million a season. I don't know if you can confirm that, but and then
I can't talk about the money that they make. But listen, if they're on. If they've been on for a long time, then yes, the money gets real.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's the end goal, is to just stick around for as long as you can and get, you know, bigger and bigger contracts as the seasons go on. Talking to Andy Cohen. Yeah. He's brought back Love Connection. It's on Fox Thursday nights at 9. And one of my favorite parts, and did they do this on the old show, Andy, where you rate the person based on, you give them a number rating based on first impression? Because
that is a new thing that we added, and I think it's really fun. We have
genius.
People score each other's looks based on their first impressions of
one
the game.
1 to 10, and it's inevitable. The guy's always like, oh, she. Let's see what he scored. You, boof, 9. Let's see what she.
10.
Let's see what she scored him. 3. Oh!
No!
It's
so bad.
And the other thing is, now that it's 2017, you have the little the video diaries from throughout the date, which is also genius.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Andy, you're a great dude. Your programming's fantastic. And everything we've ever heard from anybody that's worked with you behind the camera, you're just genuinely a top-shelf human being who just wants to entertain us through some of the hysterics and the goofball hijinks of other people, whether it be Love Connection, Southern Charm, all the Real Housewives stuff. I mean, really, you're a walking hip factory, dude. We appreciate you taking the time this morning.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you. So very... That's nice of you. And thanks for watching the show.
It's a very subdued Andy this morning.
Yeah, did you just wake up? Did you just...
Oh!
You offended him.
I wanted to keep talking to him.
God!
No, run a tight clock. But when you watch, like, Watch What Happens Live or something, the guy's bouncing off the freaking walls.
Yeah, he's great.
Have you also noticed the language on Bravo has gotten a little, I'd say things that he says on Bravo and I get fined.
Oh, yeah.
Like about this.
Yes, they can say that.
And about doing this on the what was it, the Shaw's of Sunset.
Like the one guy who's the really effeminate gay guy in the show.
Reza.
He's like, I felt like in a threesome, if one touched and the other touched, they would be gay. And the but it's far more descriptive.
Yes.
And I'm
Does he have
there,
anything
like,
to do with Shaz? Because I love that show, too.
You know he did.
Probably.
Bravo. I think he's got his tentacles all over Bravo.
Seacrest better watch his ass, man, because this guy's the new Seacrest.
I'm telling you what.
We need to ingratiate ourselves to him.
I love Andy. And you know he's touring. He tours with Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
They do like a speaking tour.
Yeah, they were here in Baltimore.
You can take a tour of this ass.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Oh, from time to time, I get embarrassed that of all the morning shows this station has ever had, we might be one of the most injured. I want to say the most. I want to say the most sickly, but the most infirmed,
the most afflicted,
the most put upon physically, mentally, and emotionally. And I think we all stand side by side with some wretched back issues. Josh, yours is from being rear-ended so many years ago.
Yeah, I was also in an accident.
And then Scott recently had his back just sort of go out on him. I remember another instance that I didn't bring up on air where I was reaching. It's the dumb stuff that's upsetting when it hurts you. Like, oh, I was in a grappling tournament, or I was helping a friend carry a player piano up some steps, or I was fending off a home invasion. Okay, I'm okay with being wounded. I threw my shoulder out, reaching to grab my seatbelt, and my shoulder just popped. It was done for like a month. Like, what a pussy, weak, wispy, little dying strand of wheat arm that I have. This is, your body sucks.
Well, if I have to use the public bathroom, which I hate doing, I'm so careful not to touch anything, like the have my arm touch the toilet seat, that when I'm wiping, I have...
You're like contorting your body.
Yeah, yeah. I have pulled muscles.
While wiping?
Yeah.
You pulled your back out filming a commercial the other day.
Yeah.
When you didn't have to do anything but crouch down and then stand up.
Yeah.
You had to crouch down... And then stand up.
You were our Tom Cruise, and we had to stop production on the film because you hurt yourself on the set of Commercial Impossible 6.
Workplace comp.
I would give up a free automobile to watch you hover wipe five times. Just to see Josh reaching around, A, not looking, because you won't look. So it's your eyes gazing up at the ceiling at the same time.
It's like this. My right arm...
Mm-hmm.
No, it's like this.
Okay, stand up. Stand up. Okay, do it. Pretend to hover wipe. All right.
I did not need that visual.
So the right
side. Wait, so
side.
Where are you looking? Because you don't look at that area at all. Because if you did that, you're seeing your full penis, your testicles, your pubic hair.
Right. I got it.
So you are just,
eyes forward.
Are you just gazing at this?
I'm staring at the door because if I stare down, I might see a hair on the floor.
Or a penis.
Or somebody might have left waste on the floor. You never know.
No.
But, so that's my experience.
Scott's got back problems on Behind the Curtain.
4-10-3-3-8-10-98. Love to hear from you if you've got some sort of... spinal issue of note. It just doesn't work anymore. You can't reach for your wallet. You can't adjust your seatbelt. Your back is gone. Bad.
Oh! Yeah, I don't know. It's like I was... Well, Speaks, you have that little thing you put on your chair. What's that about?
You got a back problem, too?
Yeah, that's a lumbar. It's a nice little lumbar support.
You've told the story before, but we always get new listeners to the show. Explain what happened to your back so many years ago.
Well, is that from the car accident or is that from something else?
I always thought it was from the car accident.
Yeah, I think it's
from the car. It's all connected.
Yeah. Josh was run over by a car.
Yeah, a few years ago, I was rear-ended. I was also in a car accident.
I like that. I like that a lot.
And it hurt my neck. It hurt my shoulder area and the lower back. So
your neck, your back, and your crack.
Yeah. And so I used this. I actually bought this in Florida on a trip to Florida because on the way down from here to Florida, it hurt my back sitting in the plane.
Wow.
So I bought this in Florida. And Yeah, so I use this, and I'm like an old man now. I use these support things from my back.
Where's my pad? Yeah, 410-338-1098. So, I've just been thinking back, because when you have a back problem, it's like, man, it shuts you down. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not to the point where I'm shut down. I can still move, but it's definitely painful. But I think back to when I lived in Fells Point, like, I'm just thinking of, like, where I was living at the time to get, like, a gauge of when it was happening. God, this had to be, like, 10 years ago, 8, 9 years ago. I would have, like, really bad back pains, like, when I laid in bed. I think part of it has to do with, like, sleep on my stomach, which apparently is really bad for you, like, sleeping on your stomach. But, yeah, so I just moved, and I was moving a bunch of boxes, and I can count on it. Like, I know it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I know it's, I try to lift with my legs and I try to do everything. Even when I would go for runs, if I was doing trail running and I would hit like a steep hill and I'd be running uphill, I can count on the left
here it goes.
Side of my lower back just going out. And I'd find a tree and I would like stretch it out on, I'd grab a tree and I'd be stretching it out like on a tree. But it was so bad to the point after a day of moving where I could barely walk and I would be walking. And then all of a sudden, it would just, like, go out. You ever, like, your back, like, go out on you? Like, I'm walking, and then all of a sudden, the muscles just go, ugh!
And peace, we're out.
A spasm.
Like, it kind of spasms and, like, goes out, and, like, my knees buckle.
Ugh.
And I'm just like, oh, my God. And I can't put my shoes on. I can't put, like, my pants on. I have trouble getting up off the couch. It's bad. Like,
it's bad. It shuts everything down. You don't realize. I mean, your back, it ties the world of your body together.
And it just continually happens. And, when I go to the gym, which I haven't been to in a while, but I would always, do some back exercises to try to strengthen it. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
You should join me at Cardinal Chiropractic. Shout out Dr. Joe. He's a guy who's been kind of putting my back together.
And then Mike throws out the idea of like a slipped disc, and you're like, I don't know what's what. I don't know.
Spinal meningitis.
Oof. But it's just becoming an issue. And I'm like I said yesterday or whatever, it's like I'm only 40. It's like I gotta.
It shouldn't be like this soon.
Yeah.
Can I share when I think? I can't say their name. And you'll know why.
Yeah, whatever.
But I have a tendency to get a little loosey-goosey after a few rum and cokes and start playing grab ass. Who here wants a Batista bomb? Does anybody want to go through a table? Come on, let me pretend to choke slam you. 2010. 2011. I come home from the West Coast to do a month's worth of stand-up out here. I meet up with you guys. And we're upstairs, power plant, and I'm wrestling. I'm wrestling this person. And we're like grappling upstairs. And I'm pretending to throw her over the railing onto the floor below, onto the cement.
Where is this?
This is a power plant upstairs, Angels. And I'm up there. I think Don might have been DJing Short Bus. Mm-hmm. And I go out there one night to meet everyone out. And we're just, come here, you. Come here, you. Come here, you. I'm going to throw you over the side of the... And here we are 6 years later
still,
and it's just never been quite right since.
Yes, that's what I feel like. I could go okay, I'm okay for a while, but then I know like it's just eventually gonna go.
I really want to believe that there's a fix to it, and again shout out to Dr. Joe who's been snapping me back in place. I feel good. Alex helps strengthen. One of the things that sucks is you want like a quick fix. You want him to be like, all right, breathe in and out.
And
there.
You're fixed.
And you're back and you're just tap dancing out of there. Sometimes you have to strengthen the muscles around it to pad it out. That's a lot of what Alex
does
with me.
I think it's just strengthening the muscles.
Which sucks because it's just like a slow, boring fix. Let's go to the phone. Oh, boy. Let's go to Ben in Westminster. Ben, how you feeling, buddy?
How you doing, guys?
What's up,
doing?
Ben?
Yeah.
You went under the knife?
Yes, I did, sir. I had a herniated disc at L5-S1, which is the lowest part of your back.
FT.
And I couldn't move. Every time I sat down, I had shooting pain down into my legs.
Whoa.
It went all the way up into my shoulder blades. I couldn't move. I couldn't walk.
How do you feel right now? And the reason I ask...
Yeah, because sometimes back surgeries are... They're fantastic and you feel great, or you deal with it for the rest of your life.
Well, it took me about 9 months intensive physical therapy to really get back to where I used to be. And then I did something, and I had a relapse.
See?
Oh, damn it. You had somebody hold your beer, and you did something dumb in the backyard.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. You're going to watch this real quick. Watch this. Yeah. All right. You see that one over there? Oh, God.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, God.
Damn
it. I just wanted to throw a frisbee. Scott in Laurel, I just hate what I'm reading on the screen here.
Yeah, the back's nothing to mess with. I'm telling you, I couldn't even. What day was it? My parents came to town to help us move. And they were here like Saturday, and it might have been like Sunday. And my mom looks at me; she's like, "You can't even walk." Like I was having trouble. I had to walk like this. I had to do like this weird, like.
Oh no, buddy! Oh, your poopy pants walk. You got poopy pants walk. You got full diaper walk.
Oh, it's the worst.
What's up, Scott and Laurel? Line one. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, look, I don't normally call in or whatever if I got something going on, but this has just controlled my life for maybe the last 15 years, so I thought I'd give you a call, you know what's going on. So when I went to the surgeon to go get I finally bit the bullet after 2 years of my back hurting. He said that I had exploded L4, L5, and S1 forward towards my stomach.
Bingo.
And so it was sitting right on the nerve.
Oh,
and when it sits on the nerve like that, your legs go numb. And so on the left-hand side, my left leg is just completely numb right now.
Right now.
While you're on the phone with us, you can't feel your left leg.
Absolutely.
Stab yourself.
Absolutely.
Find something and stab yourself. Prove it to me. I want blood. Is there ever going to be a fix?
If I would take coffee and pour it on my leg, I'd be able to feel the water hitting my leg, but I wouldn't feel like the heat.
Wow.
And it's beat. It's beat. But I waited too long, man. I waited like 2 years after I had hurt my back to get a surgery, and don't wait. I don't know. That's the best I can give you is don't wait.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Yeah. Start with physical therapy, chiropractic, maybe some working out, some stretches. Because everything that I read and hear from all of my giggle fart wrestling stuff is that anybody that has back surgeries, man, not anybody, I'm being a little excessive here, but a lot of people that have back surgeries, it's fixed.
Yeah, right.
But not the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when people have like open heart surgery, they have the problem fixed, but like you're forever weakened and you feel like less of self.
You could probably get some drugs if you go to a doctor.
Oh, yeah. You can accidentally leave those drugs lying about. And I'd say, Scott forgot these 30 pills. What's that? Scott forgot 28 pills. Let's go to Phil in Hanover. Phil, this is what I was told is wrong with my back. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Hey.
So, yeah, I have anterior pelvic tilt, and it was caused by weightlifting, actually. I'm a weightlifter, amateur. And sitting a lot and driving and all that just puts your hips in a bad posture and your muscles shorten, which causes lower back pain. That's like 75% of Americans have this.
Yeah, somebody said it was about, like, you got to...
Thank you, bud.
When you're trying to, like, stretch out your back, focus on, like... Your hips,
mm-hmm.
like shifting your hips.
Big bad Dr. Joe, Cardinal Chiropractic. The first thing he does is he where your hip, you can feel the top of your hip bone right there. He wedges this big grizzly mitt of his into the meat where I'm like uncomfortable. You're pushing guts around, and he shoves my hips
down.
Out. He goes out and down, and then he flips me over on my side. He has me pull my right leg up close to my chest. He lays his like large, glorious flesh over top of me, grabs that table, goes, breathe in and out. Oh, God. And he does it over and over. And it's a moment, a millisecond of lightning in your body. And then afterwards, like the warm flow of blood to areas that have been knotted up, that have been out of alignment. I mean, when I had physical therapy at the other place, they told me that my right leg was a half an inch shorter than the other. Just from my muscles knotting up. Not like I'm grown that way, that they're all knotting up. Mm. Yeah, I want to go with you. Guys, I want to go.
I make as long as I can get a guarantee he doesn't do that neck thing. I hate that.
He does do the neck thing.
No.
Can't
you just do like?
It's pretty great.
Isn't there like an a la carte menu? Like I'll have this, this, and this, and I don't want. The
you
neck
can
thing.
Opt to not get the neck thing. Okay, yeah, he's good. Like trying out for a Chuck Norris film.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Where's the information? Oh, you're gonna be quiet on me. Oh, you're gonna be quiet in hell.
All right, let's go.
Right in the movies when they do that, the person dies.
Yeah, and then you just tip over, and it's like the Expendables 3.
Has that ever
3.
Happened? I wonder that. That's had to have happened.
That. Mike, I need you to do the research.
Like a chiropractor tried to do the neck adjustment and did a Chuck Norris and just snaps him.
Yeah, you watch right. any Steven Seagal movie.
Any Steven,
and it looks
every sweet. Movie.
Yeah, he's just snapping necks. Like, necks are made of balsa wood. It's so easy to snap a neck. Like, if you told me that the inside of a neck is just two toothpicks side by side.
It's like, what?
That has to have happened somewhere.
It'll be like three in a row.
Some dude right out of chiropractic school was like, all right, your woman first place, breathe in, breathe out, and oh, no, God.